I really believe that God is doing a shifting in the body of Christ and in our church. This probably is one of the most, for me, one of the most impacting sermons that God's put in my heart in a long time. And I'm praying that I can communicate it the way the Lord has downloaded it into my heart. We have experienced wonderful church growth. We've seen God doing amazing things. But I think sometimes in the middle of that, we get so self-consumed and we're so focused on our individual needs that we miss the heart of God. And the Lord is just kind of, sometimes the pendulum will swing way over here and the Holy Spirit just begins to swing it back to say, look, get the focus where I want it. And so I'm hoping that through this message that the Lord will begin to speak to you about what God has in store for your life. This is not about just coming to church and being at church on a Sunday morning. It's not about attending a church. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that the Lord has brought you. But God wants to stir our hearts for the bigger picture, the big church with the big C, the big church. And I really feel like the Lord has stirred me up. I feel like that we are not operating as the Holy Ghost-filled, baptized church that Jesus wants us to be. That there's way too much flesh in the church. There's way too much tradition in the church. And I think because we've allowed it to be that way, we've created a lot of people that are just spoon-fed and just want to continue to eat. And I want you to continue to eat, but I want you to realize you need to work up an appetite. It's spiritually speaking, not works-based, not trying to work up all this stuff, but just refocusing our lives on the supernatural. I'm telling you, you cannot operate in the supernatural if you're focused on yourself. When you begin to really operate in the supernatural, it's when your heart gets turned towards others. When you open yourself up to what God wants to do in somebody else's life, it begins to shift something in your life. And I titled the message today, Living Supernatural. Living Supernatural. And I want to open up the service with a confession. I want to speak a confession. I want all of you to speak it with me. They're placing it on the screen here. And if you'll say this with me, you may do it a couple times to get it into your spirit. But if you'll just join me right now, let's say this together. We are naturally supernatural. We believe the gifts of heaven are available to all believers, and their demonstration is a natural extension of the Christian life. It is not weird, it is powerful. Come on, let's do it again. We are naturally supernatural. We believe the gifts of heaven are available to all believers, and their demonstration is a natural extension of the Christian life. It is not weird, it is powerful. And I really believe that we have raised up a church that is not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have visitations of the supernatural, but we're not living in the supernatural. And if I can get you to see in the spiritual realm what the supernatural looks like, what it is actually set up to be, I think it'll change our destiny. It'll alter our future. It'll change what happens in and through our lives. All believers should flow in the supernatural. Everybody in this room should flow in the supernatural. The supernatural realm is more real than the natural realm. What we do not see is more real than what we see with our eyes. There's so often that stuff that's in the media, you read it and you think that's so real, it's just fake news. I'm just telling you, I don't know what to believe anymore when I read it, but I know in the Bible when I begin to read and I begin to get spiritual eyes, what I see in my spirit is more real than what I experience in my natural. If I could get you to start thinking differently about your life and why you're on the planet and why you are in this day that you're living on, if I can get you to rethink about the supernatural and to open the eyes of your understanding to see the supernatural world and what it is supposed to be like, it'll change everything. It should be natural to flow in the supernatural. It's not something you have to pray about, go to war on, and try to... It ought to just flow out of the believer's life. We are living in a day and age when we are surrounded with a world that is craving the supernatural. It's a billion-dollar industry, what do you call this? Fortune telling and all that stuff, and reading your horoscopes and all that stuff. It's because people are craving the supernatural. When you and I do not have to chase any of that stuff, it should be a natural outflow of our lives. If you have your Bible, I want to read with you a prophetic passage of Scripture in Joel chapter 2, which most of you are familiar with because you've heard it preached so often. But I just want to read this familiar passage of Scripture with you. Joel chapter 2 and verses 23 through 32. He's speaking prophetically to the church. And Joel is writing and he says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion," or the people of God. Children of Zion, it was the people of God. He said, "Be glad then, you people of God, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God." If you just took that first verse and you looked at your life and you just began to wonder, is that who I am? Is my life full of rejoicing? Am I glad? Do I live with joy? Do I have the peace of God in my heart? Do I have a smile on my face, or do I have to force a smile? Do I have moments where a smile comes out and I live in this place of heaviness and I'm living overwhelmed? He said, listen, I want to prophetically speak to you and tell you to be glad and rejoice. And the reason is, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain. In the first month, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. He said, I'm going to bring a restoration to the church in the last days. I'm going to start restoring some things back into the church. I'm going to get the church focused to be off of themselves and on the harvest. I'm telling you, that's what he's speaking right here. I'm going to get you focused off of you, and I'm going to get you focused on the world that is going to hell. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you shall praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am the God in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. In verse 28, the passage that we find quoted in the New Testament, but also quoted in this prophetic chapter to the church. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour my spirit out in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass afterwards that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the purpose for the prophetic outpouring. This is the prophetic voice in this chapter, that I will pour my spirit out so that those who are lost can be saved. It wasn't to make us look good. It wasn't to make us feel good. It wasn't to let us experience the supernatural for ourselves. He said, I'll pour my spirit out on you, and you will go out, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to restore power back to his church. If you haven't figured it out yet, Jesus is our leader. Not me. Jesus is our leader. And wherever Jesus went, there was an open heaven over his life. I preached to you a message last week, said, get on the bus. The bus has a destination. It is open heavens. This is what Jesus displayed for you and I when he walked on the earth. He displayed open heavens. And he says, come on, get on the bus. Dan said, get the box and get on the bus. Get the box, man. Get the presence of God and get on the bus, because there's a destination for the supernatural. It's whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're so self-consumed with our own stuff. The church has grown so much, and it's a lot of transfer growth. People have transferred here from other churches, from other places, because they're hungry for the supernatural. They're hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit. They want to be in a place where the atmosphere is charged with the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that you're here. But I'm telling you, now that you're here, we got to get our focus on the lost. I can't spend all of my time worried about everybody else's problems. I can't fix you. I like Uncle Rick. Uncle Rick says, you can't fix stupid. I'm just saying, it's self-consumed right now. It's a great church in the presence of God, the worship team. That last song that Gabby sung, that song about the Spirit of the Lord, and if you say go, I'll go. If you say stop, I'll stop. That song just rocks me, man. I just love that song. That's the heart. This is what I'm preaching. Operating and living in the supernatural, hearing his voice. Galatians 5 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're living way too carnal. We're living way too fleshy. We have moments of visitation of the supernatural, but we're not letting it have habitation. It is not a visit to the supernatural. It's waking up every day and realizing that you and I can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go around trying to work it up. It should be a natural flow of our day. Whether it's with a client that you're selling to, whether it's with somebody you're working with, whether it's somebody you're talking to on the telephone, it should be a natural flow out of the body of Christ that everything that I'm doing right now has to do with the Spirit of the living God. It's a different way of thinking to live in the supernatural. We train people that when the presence of God is moving, that's when you operate in the supernatural. But I'm here to tell you, he is moving in our lives every day, wherever we go. Everything that you do, if you're fixing breakfast for your husband, you're fixing breakfast in the Holy Ghost. He's telling you when to flip the egg. I'm just saying that we've allowed the church to live so carnal, and we're so self-consumed with our own problems, with all the cares of life, and trying to get ourselves worked out, trying to work out all the problems in our home. And God says, hey, if you'll get your focus off of you and on the harvest, I'll change everything. And you will not have to try to work this up. It'll be a natural flow. You will live in the supernatural. Jesus operated in an open heaven. Everywhere that Jesus went, he took the power of the Holy Spirit with him. Everywhere that Jesus went, the will of God came from heaven to earth. If you want to know what's the will of God for your life, look at the life of Jesus. He's our leader. Everything that Jesus did, we do. Come on. Everything that happened in his life is supposed to be happening in our lives. If you want to know if something is of the will of God, look at Jesus. He is the will of God, manifest in the flesh. He's the Logos, the written word of God. You could take your Bible and just read the words in red. Go to the New Testament and just read the words in red and look at it, and you can find the will of God for your life. In Acts 10:38, this is what he said. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It was a natural supernatural. it was everything that he did. It was everything, everything that happened and flowed out of his life. Sometimes Jesus was speaking to people and they were amazed because he knew their thoughts before they even said them. It was supernatural. Sometimes he fed multitudes with fish and loaves. Just supernatural. Sometimes healed blinded eyes. He healed sick people. Sometimes he raised the dead. It was Lazarus, his friend, that he raised from the dead. He operated his life with an open heaven. When he taught the people, they said, we heard him and we understood that he talked as one with authority. What was it? It was the natural flow of the relationship between the Father and him. It was the natural flow of the supernatural. We think supernatural is just miracles. It is more than just miracles. It is a natural, it is a ongoing, life-giving relationship with the Father. It's not just when the worship team sings the right song and the goosebumps come on your arm and you go, whoo, that's glory. That is glory. But let me tell you, the glory is also when I'm home sitting on the couch with my wife and we're just sitting there talking. It's the flow of the Holy Ghost that we live 24/7 in the flow of the Holy Spirit. He told Peter one time, he said, go catch a fish and open the fish's mouth and take a coin out and go pay our taxes. How crazy is that? That's the flow of the supernatural. God has so many ways to bless you, you can't even imagine if you would just operate in the supernatural. This is what it looks like to live with the open heaven. He told Nathanael, he said, hereafter you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He said, you're going to see angelic things. When you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be supernatural things that you can't explain daily in your lives. Not occasionally, I'm talking about daily in your lives. I preached last night. Man, we had a great service in here last night. And I went home and I was trying to get sermon notes together for everybody. And I was working on the sermon notes. And I got tired. It was about 11:30 at night. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to wait. I'll do this in the morning because sometimes, you know, I try to get it done early, but as the Holy Spirit's moving and things are shifting and I'm rethinking thoughts and writing them down. So at 11:30 at night, I went to bed. And at 4:31 this morning, I was awakened by the Holy Spirit. And I reached over and I grabbed the phone and I looked at the phone and it said 4:31. And I'm like, God, that is way too early. And I turned, put the phone back down, and I laid down, and I said, I'm going to sleep a couple more hours, and then I'll get up and I'll finish the sermon notes. And I was laying there, and the Holy Spirit said to me, Acts 4:31. And then, you know, with that second nudge, sometimes it takes a second touch, and I got a second touch from the Lord, and I said, okay, I got to get up. At 4:31, I got up, and it was like 4:32 or whatever, and I got up, and I went in the kitchen, and I got some water, and I sat at the table, and I opened my Bible up, and I read it, and it said that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. That was Acts 4:31. And I wrote down in my notes, God wants you and I to live in the supernatural, and He wants you to see angels ascending and descending from heaven. That's what I put in my notes. God has angels that are ministering angels. As I'm writing that, I hear a noise upstairs. My son and my daughter-in-law live in our house, and our grandbabies live there. Titus is 5, and Tegan is Tegan's 3, right? Almost 4. So Tuesday's her birthday. I hear this noise upstairs, and I'm sitting there in my underwear. So I was like, okay, somebody's up. So I get up, run to the bedroom, get some sweatpants on, get a T-shirt on, because I thought maybe my daughter-in-law might wake up or something. I'm like, oh, I got to get dressed. So I go up, I get dressed. I'm just being real. So I get dressed, and I'm just sitting there at the table. I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, I hear this noise. And I look out, the front door is open, and my daughter-in-law's out in the yard screaming. And what had happened was, now I don't know if the Holy Spirit woke her up, or if when the Holy Spirit woke me up, it woke her up. I can't tell you, it's supernatural. I'm just telling you, the angels of God are ascending and descending, and you have ministering angels. If you could operate in the supernatural, you can imagine. I think we would be shocked to know how much angels are doing for us in the behind the scenes that we don't even know. My grandkids woke up at 4 in the morning, sometime around 4 or 4:30. Titus opened the window up at 5 years old, kicked the screen out, took his baby sister out the window, handed her blankets and pillows. They climbed out, an iPad, climbed out on the roof. You get to a certain point in the roof, and then there's about a 4-foot lift to get to the second tier of the roof. Lifted her up, climbed up on top of there, drug all their blankets and pillows up on the roof, and we're out there watching a movie in the stars. The pillow fell off of the roof and rolled all the way down to the ground. The screen was laying out on the ground. And when Amanda woke up, the Holy Spirit woke her up in the middle of the night to tell her, you got to rescue your babies. Jordan climbed out on the roof, ran out there, grabbed Tegan off the front. I'm telling you, they're up 2 stories up on a roof at 4 o'clock in the morning. You tell me we don't live in a supernatural world? That the Holy Spirit would wake us up and say, no, devil, you're a thief and you can't have my grandbabies. You can't disrupt the flow of the Holy Ghost. We live in a supernatural world and you can't afford to live carnal. You can't afford to live in your natural. You can't afford to live in your mindset. You got to change your mindset. And you got to wake up every day and say, God, I desire the power of the Holy Spirit to be in my life to give me an awareness to what's going on. Listen, my grandson, this is not a demonic thing. He has so much energy and so much passion. He is so loving. He comes in and he'll lay there and hold my face and say, Pop, I love you so much. Pop, Pop, God is good. Pop, he just talks about the Lord all the time. But Satan knows that energy, that his name is Titus. He will lead the churches. And Satan is like, if I could steal that, if I could crush that before it gets going, if I could take that energy and turn it to something negative, that's what he wants to do. But I am here to tell you right now, not in my house, not on my watch. I live in the supernatural. You live in the supernatural. And no way, devil, you can't have my family. You can't have my home. You can't have my life because God is bigger. He's in control. Get yourself engaged in the supernatural. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let him pour his spirit out on you. Whew. If we could only know what angels are doing. Now listen, I'm not here to tell you we need to pray to angels or that we need to worship angels, but I'm telling you they are sent by God as ministering spirits in the supernatural to minister to you and through you. I believe my angels are working overtime, by the way. When Jesus left the earth, he empowered it with the supernatural. He empowered it with the supernatural. That the supernatural should not be a visitation. It should be a habitation. Everything that you do, everything, your business, who you talk to, the people who work for you, the people you work around, the neighbors that you wave at, everything, everything is supernatural. Get on the bus. Get on the bus. Stop trying to plan it all out, figure it all out. Realize there's the God of the universe is in control. Amen? Modern Christianity wants you to get an Uber. They want you to call an Uber so you can tell them where you want to go and how much you want to pay. But I'm here to tell you, look at the destination on the bus and say, I'm getting on the bus with the box. Come on. Amen. Amen. Listen, the fee to ride the bus has already been paid at Calvary. It's free. It's for everybody. The bus has a destination, and it was established in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1:8. This is what God wants to restore. When I read to you Joel chapter 2, this is the power that God wants to restore back to the church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are his witnesses. We are to give our testimony and share our story. In Acts 2 and verse number 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak tongues as the Spirit gave utterances. Jesus left the earth. He left it with an open heaven. There was a sound from heaven. If you read that and listen to what it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There was a sound from heaven. There was a wind from heaven. There was a fire from heaven. And there were tongues from heaven. And when the disciples came out of that experience, it changed the way they did life. They started living and operating in the supernatural. It was more than speaking in tongues. It was more than a prayer language. It became a lifestyle that flowed into their homes and into their communities. It changed the atmosphere. If you can start living in this place of the supernatural, you can realize you can change the atmosphere. This is how the church was born. The first thing that happened was Peter stands up and he starts preaching. In Acts 2:14, Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and he said to them, men of Judah and those who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what we just read. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see dreams and visions. And he goes out and he gets down to verse 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to get this. This is the purpose of supernatural. Carl, I love you. Where you been, man? This is the purpose of the supernatural, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I'm going to pour my spirit on all flesh. I'm going to give you a baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it's so that people can be saved. It's not for you. We just get so self-consumed. It's all about me dancing and feeling good and all the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what, he's empowering you for the lost. We're living in the last days. We got to win the lost. If you have flesh, you're a candidate for the Holy Spirit. Pinch yourself. You got flesh? You're a candidate to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see that Acts chapter 2, we read that, and we all talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and these are not drunk as you suppose, and you go through all that. You get down to Acts 2:38. It's the same chapter. Peter's preaching, and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Look at verse 41. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. That day were 3,000 souls were added to the church. What was the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? It was to empower the church to win the lost. And we sit here week after week with nobody by our side. We sit here, we're already in the month of November, and I promise you, 95% of everybody in the church has led nobody to the Lord this year. And we're calling this the year of the harvest. And we've been so self-consumed because of all the numbers and because it's growing and everything that's going on. And all I'm trying to do is just herd the corral. this time I'll take care of all the issues and trying to keep this one from getting offended, that one from getting hurt, trying to make sure their toes aren't stepped on. And it's like I'm just consumed with self. And God says, you got to turn this around, boy. If you want to fulfill the requirements for the last day church, it's not about them. It's about those outside who don't know Jesus, who when I come, they're going to split hell wide open. And we've got to get our focus off of us and on the harvest. Living in the supernatural is not about us. This experience with my grandchildren, you say, well, what in the world? That's crazy. Yeah, God needed to give me an illustration for this message. I'm just saying, I could get mad. I could go up there and beat the snot out of them, yell at them, scream at them, shake them. That ain't going to do nothing. There is an enemy, there is a liar, there is a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm taking it out on the evil one. This is a problem. We've got to realize we have authority over the devil. My son's not demon-possessed. My grandson's not demon-possessed. He's just ambitious, and I got to steer that. I got to be the one that brings that and nurtures that and brings that into the kingdom of God and let him know he has authority in the kingdom. I just got to get us to wake up. You got to win the lost. You have family members. You have friends and neighbors and coworkers who don't know Jesus. And we're talking about all the power of the Holy Ghost is in our church. If the power of the Holy Ghost is in this church, it ought to be stirring you to go win the lost. It ought to be stirring you to give a word of encouragement to somebody and be the light in the darkness. I'm not talking about getting a sign and standing out by the road. Repent or you're going to hell. And I'm not talking about that at all. I'm here to tell you, if my daughter-in-law will use this illustration this week, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for good, and somebody will get saved because she tells the story about how God woke her up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go look on the roof and find her babies up there when the enemy wanted to destroy them. God said, no, I'm going to rescue them, and I'm going to let you use this to win somebody to Jesus. That's it, ain't it, Zach? That's what it's all about. We've just got so self-consumed and we just sit here and eat and eat and eat. And I'm here to tell you, take it to the streets. You've got a story. Go out and love on somebody. This church ought to be overflowing with people. If half of you get this, it'll change the whole city. You just think, if every church in Naples, Florida right now would get baptized in the Holy Spirit, what would that do? You know when you're baptized, huh? You're dripping. You're dripping, man. When you get baptized, you're just saturated. And we've allowed the cares of this life to dry us off. And I'm just saying, come on, let's dive in. Let's dive into the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's realize that God wants to use everything that happens in our lives as a testimony for his goodness. Do you know the power? You probably don't even know the power that you have. You guys pick it. They're so close into age, they pick at each other all the time, don't they, Mom? Nitpicking. They love each other more than anybody, probably. But they just pick at each other all the time. If you woke up in the morning and you went into her room and said, I need to pray over you today, and you're not making something up, but you just say, God, show me something for my sister. And you woke up in the morning and you went into her room and she said, I think Satan wants to do something today, but I'm going to stand in agreement with you that God's going to do something big in your life today. And God's just going to show up in your family, in your school, in your classroom today. You know what all day long she'll be doing? Kate will be all day long thinking about, I wonder what God's going to do today. Because she ain't never prayed for me like that before. Something's up, man. Devil tried to kill me today or something. Because... You know what I'm saying? If you woke up tomorrow morning and instead of just getting up and running to school, you woke up and you went into your dad's room and you just went in there and said, hey, before you go today, I think God's going to bless you today. And I don't know why, but I was praying and God told me that he's going to bless you. So you went in and you laid your hands on your dad and you said, Dad, today God's going to bless you. Somebody's going to get saved today. All day long, Rick's going to be looking for somebody to get saved. Because my son came in my room and he said to me that I'm going to lead somebody to Christ today. If we could just start thinking, living in the supernatural, what's that look like for you? What if you woke up tomorrow morning and before you got dressed, you just stood up in your bed, stood on top of your bed and said, God, use me today in a mighty way. Just use me today in a mighty way. Pour your love through me today. All week, all day long, you'd be going around all day long thinking, I wonder what God's going to do, because he ain't never woke me up like that before. If you could think, you carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you. And if you would just get so stirred up in your spirit to win the lost, it's about souls. Everything that we do has to be concerned with somebody's going to go to hell if I don't rescue them. I got great warriors in here, great people that love God, that are so committed to God. And we've got so many leaders. We're just talking about looking around the room at the leaders that God has brought us. If I could get you out of your comfort zone and to realize you're called to win the lost, and every week you're filling up a row with converts that you're leading to Christ, and every week you're sitting there going, hey, this one was healed and that one was touched, and look, we're all serving the God right now. Look what the Lord is doing. Look what the Lord has done. Listen, the miracles are not for you. They're not for you. They're for souls. When God uses you, Roland, in a healing room, or when God uses you at this altar and you lay hands on somebody and they get healed, it's not for you to grab it and make a Facebook post out of it and say, okay, a blinded eye was just opened today. Look what God's doing in my ministry. It's not. Jesus in Mark chapter 5, he goes to the Gadarenes. I loved when we were at the Sea of Galilee, and they point out there's where the Gadarenes were from. That's where the pigs ran over the hill and into the swine. Well, when Jesus ministers to this boy, the Bible says when Jesus put his foot on the lamb, the demons cried out and they came running to him and said, what are we to do with you? Leave us alone. Don't torment us. And Jesus says to him, you have many demons. And he cast all them demons out and cast them into the pigs. And the pigs ran over the hill and died in the water. You just read it, Mark chapter 5. If that happened today, you know what we'd have? That kid would be the poster child for everybody's ministry. Tormented boy over here, chains, tormented, hair goofy, all messed up, this weird looking, crazy eyed. That's the demon boy. Now here he is smiling. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That boy wanted to go with Jesus. He said, I'll go with you, Jesus. He said, well, you getting on the boat, I'm going to go with you, and I'll be your poster child. I'll be the one that you can just show everybody. Look what the Lord has done. Jesus said, no, son, that's not what this is for. You go back to your territory. You go back to your family. You go tell them what God has done. He sent him back home. He said, now you have an assignment. I gave you a miracle, but the miracle has purpose. It wasn't just to get you free. It was to get you free so that you can get others saved. It wasn't just to rescue my grandkids. It was so that we can use this story to bring an awareness to the supernatural. Everything that is happening in your life all leads to souls. Our mission is to win the lost, not to do miracles. Miracles are a tool for the lost. It's a tool. It is supposed to be evident in our lives all the time. There should be miraculous things happening every day in every life of every believer. Just telling you. Acts 3 verse 1. Right after the upper room experience. They just come out of the upper room. Man, and God's moving. Great things are happening. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. At the ninth hour, a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, who was carried there daily, laid at the gate of a temple which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John going up to the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, John and Peter said, look at us. So they gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk! And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up to his feet. Immediately, strength came to his ankle bones. He received strength, and he ran, leaping, and stood up, and he walked, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw it and were praising God. We make that the focus of the story. And it is a great miracle. This guy's lame. He's been there for a long time. Peter and John come in the temple, and they heal him. But that's not the focus of the story. That's a part of the story. It's a tool for what happens next. What happens next in Acts chapter 3:11? Now the lame man who was healed or held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look intently at us as though we, by our own power or goodness, made this man walk? And in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted. What was the miracle for? The salvations. He said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing can come in the presence of the Lord. Get on the bus to open heavens. Realize there are angels ascending and descending, and they want to use you to help somebody else find faith in Christ. The focus isn't on the miracle, it's on the souls. We got to get it off of the miracles. We want the miracles. I believe my hands are anointed. I believe your hands are anointed, that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But it's for purpose. Not just to get somebody healed. It's to get somebody and a whole generation of people saved. In Acts 19, in verse 1, it happened as Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having pressed through the upper regions, came to the Ephesus. And finding some disciples there, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He said to them, unto what were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. And Paul said to them, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. He wasn't preaching about all the miracles that will happen when you come to Jesus. He said, look, Jesus Christ is the answer for the world. They got saved and they got baptized again. Some of you need to get baptized again. You need to get baptized again. You need to get baptized fresh anew in the Holy Spirit with power. You need to experience the supernatural in our lives, in our families. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. He preached Christ to them. And because he preached Christ to them, the multitudes with one accord heeding the things which were spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They're an important part of our ministry. Miracles are important, but the miracles are only to lead to salvation. Think about it. Who are you leading to Christ? Who have you won to the Lord? I want to motivate you to rethink living spiritually, living supernaturally. It is about living in the power of the Holy Spirit to win the lost to Christ. When we operate in the supernatural, listen what happened. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, and hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And great joy filled the city. Don't you think Naples, Florida needs some great joy? Don't you think Fort Myers needs some great joy? I mean, we need some great joy. I'm sick of driving around having people flip me off and scream at me. Huh? Just mad. People are just mad at the world. They need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we operate naturally in the supernatural, it fills a city with joy. When we operate in the supernatural, the demonic has no power. I'm just telling you, when you are operating in the supernatural, the demonic has no power. It'll get exposed. The lies of the enemy will get exposed. It has no power. Listen, I'm telling you, any territory that we occupy, the devil has to evacuate. Any territory you occupy, the devil has to evacuate. We need to live 24/7 in the supernatural. Something needs to change in our generation. Can you say amen to that? Something needs to change in our generation. We need a generation to be raised up that refuse to live and go through the motions without the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. This is not normal Christianity. We don't need normal Christianity. We need some on fire, baptized in the Holy Spirit believers who are taking the name of Christ to the city. This church, the The church that Jesus Christ born, it was birthed out of the fire. It was birthed out of the fire. On the day of Pentecost, fire fell from heaven. And I'm telling you, that which is born of the fire can't live in the smoke. I was born in the fire. I can't live in the smoke. I mean, I'm not down, and I'm not trying to elevate one church above another. There are great churches all over our city. But I'm going to tell you something. As for me and my house, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost to be in the house. I need it to be in the seats. I need it to be in your family. I need you bringing the lost. I need you getting lost people into the house of the Lord. And we will do everything we can to get a word from God that will change their lives. But if we're not going to get the lost here, if we're just coming for ourselves, we've missed the heart of God. The church cannot exist on programs and plans. Huh? It can't. Those who want to come in and go as quick as they can, it can't exist that way. There's so many people, they want church in an hour. Like they want you to come in. If you go over an hour, we're going to go to another church. And I get it. And that's good. That may be where they need to be, but I don't believe it. I just can't believe it. I believe you got to just take your time in the Holy Spirit, and you got to let the Holy Spirit move. Come on. If worship goes 10 minutes, praise God. If it goes 20, praise God. If we just get our eyes on the supernatural, we stop worrying about time. We need to catch the spirit of revival. I need you to catch the spirit of revival. I need you to catch the spirit of restoration. That God's restoring things that were stolen from you years ago, and that God's restoring it back. I would just need you to think that there are things that God intended for you that because of decisions your parents made, you didn't get them. And I need you to go to God and say, you know what? I want all of it. I want things that I didn't get as a child. I want things that were stolen from me. I want everything restored back to me. And I want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I do not want to be controlled by my past failures. I want to live with a future that is bright. Get a spirit of restoration over your life. He's restoring what the locust has eaten. It's the end times. It's the 11th hour. God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Live in the supernatural. I close with this scripture. If you could come to the keyboard, Michael. Mark 16 and 17. These signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And listen to what happened. They went out, and they preached everywhere, the Lord with them, working with them, and confirming the word with accompanying signs. The reason for the signs and wonders is souls. Like when Bobby and I, 11 years ago, were praying about coming to Naples and starting a church. And so I had some great pastor friends at large churches. And so I made a time to go sit with them. And I just wanted to get counsel about planting a church. I had never done it before. I was a youth pastor. And so on two or three different occasions, I sat down with leading pastors of churches of thousands. And I sat down with them and I said, I'm praying about starting a church. Just wanted to have you speak into my life. And I had two of them look at me and say, what tribe are you? I said, what? Like, what tribe are you? I said, I don't understand what that means. Well, you need to be in a tribe. You're either going to be like in the Copeland tribe, the Word of Faith tribe, or in the Kenneth Hagin tribe. You know, are you, like, where are you at? Are you like a Joel Osteen type tribe? Where are you? I said, I don't even know what all that means. I don't know what tribe I am. I don't know. I almost felt like confused, like, I got to pick a tribe? I figured it out. I know what tribe I'm in now. I'm not in the tribe of the frozen chosen. I'm not in the tribe of the not at God crowd. I'm not in that crowd. I'm in the tribe of the baptized in fire, Holy Ghost, remnant, left on the earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to change the nation. That's the tribe. I'm in that tribe. I'm in the lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm into the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm into laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. I'm into the lost getting saved. I'm into the altars full of people crying out for repentance. What tribe are you? Are you living in the supernatural? Are you waiting till you get to church on Sunday and hoping the supernatural will happen? Change your thinking. You are anointed. You are chosen by God. Mike, everything I've been putting in you, like I've been preaching to you now for about 4 years, 5 years. How long have we've been together? Maybe more, 6 years. 6 years you come every week and I'm preaching to you. And I'm telling you, go win the lost. Get out in the streets and tell somebody that God, tell them your story. Tell them how you went to Bible school and you got all this religious stuff in your head, but you came to a relationship with Jesus Christ and it changed everything. Tell them how God brought you through. Tell them the fires you've been through. Tell them how God gave you a wife that you didn't know what you were going to do and you were getting older and you didn't have no, oh God, what am I going to do? And God says, hey, I got the perfect woman for you, baby. You don't have to worry anymore and she'll come alongside you. And when you go out and preach, she'll go preach with you. Go tell them. Go tell them how you came to Naples, Florida, and you didn't know where you were going to be, and you thought you were going this direction. God said, no, I want you to go that direction, and it changed everything. And now you're like, oh, God, what do I do? And God says, hey, I got a plan for you. I'm going to put these girls in your life, and you will raise them up to be mighty warriors. They will be prophetesses of the Lord, and they will speak, thus saith the Lord. Get it into your heart. You've got a story. You've got a testimony, and it's all to win the lost. It's to win the lost. You didn't come to this country just to sit here in a seat and hear a preacher. You came to get the fire of God burning in your belly, to go into the highways and the byways and compel them. Come on in. It's the 11th hour. It's getting late. You can't play the church game. You can't go through life not knowing who he is and why he came. He came to change the world, and we're his mouthpiece. God is not elevating you and promoting you to be in the job just to have a position. You're a leader. You're a warrior for God. Everything that God's brought you through, you think about all this stuff that you've been through to get you to this point. You could have been anywhere, Randy. You could have chose anywhere. God said, no, I don't want you to choose anywhere. I've got a place for you. I need you to be in a place that believes in your girls, that speaks life over your girls, that calls destiny out of them. This is why you're here. Your marriage should have been over. You should have been dissolved. It was done, baby. You did not want nothing else to do with that guy. He's done. And God said, no, baby, it's just beginning. I'm about to anoint Greg, and he's going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and signs and wonders are going to follow his life. I know, because I'm living this thing. I'm watching it unfold before my very eyes. Live in the supernatural. Trust God with everything. It's about winning lost. It's about winning the lost. I am here in Naples, Florida to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Get on the bus. It's not about miracles. I believe in miracles. I'm a miracle. God raised me from the dead. But the reason he raised me from the dead was not to make it the poster of my life. I'm not to write a book about how 60 minutes in heaven. That's good that they write those books. I'm not downing that. I'm just telling you, it is for the purpose of souls. Souls. Come on, Rick, get back on it, man. Get back on it. Go win the lost. Go win the lost. Go fill up a role with people that you've led to Jesus. Own it. It's last days, Dolores. Can't play games no more. Amen? Everybody, just close your eyes right now. I want you to think of somebody. Somebody that cuts hair beside of you. Somebody that's in your life. Brother, somebody that's like, you know that the hour's getting late and they got to get in. For some of you, it's not even a name that you know. It's just a person in a red jacket that's going to be at the restaurant in a few minutes. Come on. For some of you, it's just someone that you're going to pass on the street, or who's going to be putting gas in a car next to you. I want you to get a face in your mind right now. Get a name. If you know a name, think of a loved one, a son or a daughter. Miss Gill, if you could hold the keyboard just for a second. Everybody, get somebody on your heart right now. If you could just close your eyes, there's a fan above me that's ticking. It's just ticking. Listen. Time is ticking. We're in the 11th hour. Can you imagine that the friend that has been in your life that doesn't know Jesus, that if Jesus Christ comes tomorrow morning, they're going to go to hell and be tormented in hell? Time is ticking. Who's the face? Who's the one? When you get somebody on your heart, stand to your feet. When you get somebody on your heart, stand to your feet. Living in the supernatural is not an option. It is natural. Let's worship the Lord for a minute before we leave. Lead us, Miss Gail. Just lead us.
Holy fire fall. Holy fire. Holy fire fall. Holy fire fall. Do what only you can do, God. Come, O Lord, and make us new.
Now, I want you to go after that person with love. I just want you to go get them. I just want you to love them in. I want you to just find them, fast, pray, whatever it takes to say, God, I'm going to see their lives turn around. Use your story again. They already know your story. Well, use it again. I tell my story every week almost. Use your story. Lift your hands to the Lord, please. God, as we lift our hands to you, we ask you to let holy fire fall upon us, and that we would operate in the supernatural this week. Divine intervention from heaven. The face that came before us, the name that is in our hearts. God, I pray that you would open the doors of opportunity and that they would be ready to receive it. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. The harvest is ripe. Pray for the Lord of the harvest. I send you as laborers into the harvest field. I send you out to bring in the harvest. Go win the lost. Go allow signs and wonders to flow through you. Miracles of healing. Miracles of restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you for the worship in this atmosphere. Thank you for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to hearts and lives that are in this room, that are watching on television, that are watching on an iPad, they're watching from home. I want you to speak to hearts, God. Holy Spirit, go to them now. Prepare them. Take away all fear and doubt. Take away all doubt. And God, let them receive your love today. Everybody put your hands down for a second, and I'm going to ask you if you're in the room today and your heart's not where it needs to be with the Lord. Like, you know, you really don't have the peace of God living in your life. You don't have the joy. Your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Would you just be honest and lift both hands to the Lord right now? You don't have to come up here in the front. You don't have to. You have to respond to God who's calling you. There are many, many hands going up in this room right now. And there are others of you. You're wrestling with your flesh right now. And just stop and lift your hands to God. Just trust God. Trust God. Supernatural. Supernatural. Everybody join them. Lift your hands to the Lord. Pray with me right now. Jesus Christ, I give you my life. I trust you with my future. I believe that you died for me. I choose to live for you. Today my life changes. I am a soul winner. And I will use my life as a testimony. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, let's worship Jesus.